This is the Eurovision Sport Radio Podcast with me, David Nacht. In this episode, we meet some podcast rebels. When you look at the podcast charts, you'll see that public service broadcasters have a strong presence in the headphones of listeners across Europe. We wanted to bring together a group of these podcast experts to explore how we could work together in the future, especially in the world of sports. I'm joined by three of my colleagues who took part in these sessions. First up, Mark Schadlow from the BBC.
Hello.
We also have Marina Schweitzer with us from Deutschlandfunk.
Hi, hello.
And finally, all the way from Melbourne, Christoph Mallet from SBS Australia.
Hello, bonjour.
It's great to have the company of you all. You've all been involved in this podcast rebellion project that we've run over the last couple of weeks. Congratulations, first of all, on these sessions. In general, what has the experience been like for you? Marina, could you start maybe?
Yeah, well, to sum it up, it was really great fun. I just wrote that to my group in WhatsApp. I think it was an awesome experience to really have people from all over the world to create something really concrete together. And I would have never thought that a couple of lunch break meetings could really come up to this. And we really created, we didn't only come up with an idea, we also really created something already. And yeah, it was a new and excellent experience for me and really inspiring.
Mark, what has it been like for you?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, we've had 5 one-hour sessions to come up with a concept to delivering an actual pilot, and to work, to listen to experiences across Europe, and to work closely with 2 or 3 other colleagues from Europe was a fantastic experience. You know, something that I just do not get on a weekly basis.
And Christoph, what about you?
I did really like the fact that it was a lot, but not too much, but also enough to fit into your old busy life, you know. So that was really good. And then we were able to then take this away ourselves and then arrange this in our own time.
We're all public service broadcasters, and together we've been talking about this podcast revolution, leading a podcast revolution. But what does that mean for us all? Because aren't we already leading the way as PSM? Mark, how do you feel about that?
Well, in Britain, I mean, I think the BBC are doing a pretty good job and latched on very quickly to the fact that audio audiences were changing, and there was a real opportunity with the development of the BBC Sounds platform, which was perhaps criticised early on, but now I think people are getting it, that actually that this is the place where you're searching for audio, whether that's live radio or podcast form, whatever you want to call it. It's audio, and we all work in audio. So I think that as far as we're concerned at the BBC, we've latched onto it, and we're learning, and we learn ever more what especially the younger audiences want. You know, we're used to traditional radio, and we're very good at traditional radio, but we are learning now how to adapt fleet of foot to this very new and competitive medium. What is there now? 1.2 million podcasts out there, 300,000 in the last 6 months. It's a super competitive area. But I think as public service broadcasters, you know, we've got a great heritage in broadcasting. And if we can bring that together with the rawness of podcasting, then we really have something to offer.
Christoph, what is your view?
I think, you know, if I look at what we've been doing in Australia, we've got 2 main public broadcasters. There's ABC and SBS. And then SBS is kind of the naughty cousin with the Channel 4, if you want, for England to the BBC. So we've been very irreverent in our approach. And in a way, podcasting has been very interesting for us because we came from a traditional audio to try to go online with video, online with Facebook Live, you know. But then we realized maybe actually, you know what, our job is actually audio. And we don't necessarily do video well, but we can do audio very well in different format. But in reality, we've been podcasting for more than 10 or 15 years. You know, we've been backing up our content, and a lot of the stuff were already online. It was just this ability to take, you know, what we had, we thought could be the video, then now the audio side of it is becoming a lot stronger at SBS, because we're taking ownership of it a lot more than, you know, we're not stepping on the TV side of it.
We have these huge archives. We have archives that go way back. Public radio within Europe is, you know, really old. So we have this huge chance to do really high class documentaries with the material that we have. And also, I mean, our company, well, Deutschlandfunk, we've been doing quite some podcasts, and our company has been really successful also on the market with podcasts. And yeah, I feel like now from just the couple of weeks that we spent together, now I know that we can do this more internationally even, and maybe even, I mean, look into English projects or anything. I mean, I don't know, you know, where it leads, but I think it's a huge opportunity.
And Mark, what gives a public service broadcaster the edge, the advantage, if you like, compared to all these strong private players?
Well, one, we've got a great place to promote our podcasts. When there are 1.3 million out there, you've got to shout loud to get your podcast heard. So, two, I think we're trusted, and we do have a certain amount of authority. We certainly have the technical skills, 1.3 million podcasts out there, but some of them actually are difficult to listen to. We need to make sure that we bring across, however fleet of foot and however modern our techniques may be, but we need to make sure that we maintain our audio quality to stand out amongst the crowd there. So I think they're just a few examples of where we can score.
Marina, could you maybe elaborate briefly on the German market? How competitive is the podcast market in Germany?
Oh, I'd say it's really competitive. I mean, we've got podcasts. I mean, ARD, the German National Public Service, is a service that is focusing on regional broadcasters. And then you have Deutschlandfunk, which is the national public radio. And most of them, I'm pretty sure all of them, have their own podcast projects. And that's some sort of a competition, a healthy competition. But also then all of the, not only private radios, but I mean, just private people who publish their podcasts. It's a huge market, and Germans, you know, learn English better and better. And now they're already listening to a lot of English podcasts. So that really comes into the game that many young Germans, I mean, they're right into those, they dive into all of those competitors on the English and the German market.
Mm-hmm. Christoph, the Australian market is predominantly English, I assume, but what's it like in Australia?
It is and it is not. Yeah, no, it is. But I'm preaching my own thing here, because the SBS French is actually doing really well. But, you know, it's interesting because, yes, we are in competition with the US and the UK. So for us, it's even harder because the content that is coming out of the UK is, honestly, it's great quality. What's coming in from the US is a different kind of format. But what I like to isolate in this in English, you start now to see regional aspect of podcasts. So the US are not doing the same way, the podcast the same way as the British, even though they're sharing the same, I mean, and Mark might correct me here, but they're sharing the language, most of it. But what I want to say, that there's a style that is different. One thing I wanted to add on what you guys said before is that one other thing that as public broadcasters we have as experience in this market is that we've already been burnt with how TV was ripped apart by Netflix, you know, as a platform. So coming into the audio platform, we know what's going to happen, and we've been there before, and we struggled before, and we struggled, and we kept our head above water in a way, and some content have been fantastic, but we've got this experience, and hopefully in terms of the management we should not get burned twice, you know, in that way.
Okay. And basically, finally, you know, having had our sessions over the last few weeks, what do we take from this? Where do we go from here? Christoph, maybe you could kick off.
I don't know. that's the short answer. But I just hope this vibe is going to come on. So for example, we've created this little WhatsApp group. I hope our WhatsApp group is not going to die, you know, because I've had some really good, powerful exchanges in this. I've learned a lot about, you know, simple things, but things like the struggle I've got internally with my middle management to get anything through. But in reality, I'm on the other side of the world, but you guys are experiencing exactly the same thing, albeit in Sweden, in Switzerland, in Belgium, in Britain. We all have this sort of layer where we need to convince people, and the hardness of getting a podcast out is not just to be recognized by the public, but it's also to get recognized internally. That's something I've really appreciated in understanding that it's not just me, it's not just us that are struggling, it's everybody else that are struggling.
And Marina, where would you like to go from here?
Well, what really came from the past couple of weeks was hope that we can create something together, a lot of inspiration. I'm really, really in a high spirit now that we can do something. And also faith in our strength, I think. I mean, we could compare ourselves a little bit to each other. And, you know, we all have really great ideas and we have great resources. So, yeah.
And finally, Mark?
Continue to collaborate. And I think what we've shown also is that we haven't just collaborated, but we've collaborated quickly, really quickly. Often you think of collaboration will be a month long process, but this has been done in hours and not weeks or months. So yes, staying together and throwing around the ideas. I mean, we as a group need to be watching for trends and need to be experimenting with formats and what sort of formats would work to public service audiences in sport across Europe. Could it be daily? Could it be weekly? Other things that we haven't really thought of. What do we each learn from our various different formats, and what can we collectively contribute?
My thanks to Mark Schadlow, as well as Marina Schweitzer and Christoph Malle. And thank you to everyone who took part in these lunchtime sessions. I hope to see this community develop further and to listen to its results in the months to come. Meanwhile, in October, we'll be meeting for our own virtual sessions in the form of the Eurovision Sport Radio Plenary. I have no doubt that our next episode will be recorded behind the scenes of this virtual meeting.